from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, January 26th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Either yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Hawaiian Shirt Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song in its entirety. Here we go. Actually, I stand corrected. That's not in its entirety. That's not the full version. And one of these days I'll break down and play the full version again. But that'll get us started for today. Now, for the official start to the blogcast,
the Daily Danagram.
Yep. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, I think I found the trouble with our economy. There are far more ways to get into debt than there are to get out of it. And the government is of no help whatsoever.
This will not look good on a resume!
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast, shall we?
Twisted history.
That should be good.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, no.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Big stuff.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
See? Well, kids, it was on this day in 1926, the first demonstration of the television by John Logie Baird took place. Now, he was a Scottish inventor. Electrical engineer, innovator, who demonstrated the world's first live working television system. A couple of years later, he went on to invent the first publicly demonstrated color television system. And you know, you think about it, television was okay until they started programming it. Why do you think they call it programming? And it was on this day in 1949, the Hale Telescope at Palomar Observatory saw the first light under the direction of Edwin Hubble, becoming the largest aperture optical telescope until 1976. Poor Mr. Hubble. Always had a bad crick in his neck.
Such a crick in the neck!
By now, we all know what J6 means, right? That's reference, of course, to the January 6th, 2021 Capitol riot. Still a lot of people calling it an insurrection, which by the definition of the word, it was not. It was not an insurrection. It was not a planned event. It was not an armed event, although people did die. And more people died at the hands of Capitol Police than from any other source. Now, the riot became an obsession for politicians wanting to punish anyone associated with the infamous event. I would go so far as to postulate that it became an obsession for politicians who want to further demonize the right. Not just MAGA, but the right in general. I mean, these people on the left are playing hardball. They're playing the same kind of hardball that the communists did back in 1917, prior to the Russian Revolution. Now, the Democrat-run former House Select Committee, in fact, the idea of that committee still angers me, but they focused on anything related to the chaos. And then, of course, they branded Trump the leader of the so-called insurrection. Again, let me reemphasize, by the definition of the word, that was not an insurrection. And with each day that passes, there's more and more evidence that shows that Donald Trump is innocent of any and probably all charges being made by the left. We've got thousands of hours of video, huge amounts of data related to J6, all collected by the committee. There's even more data. In fact, I would probably argue 3 to 4 times more data that was not collected or retained by the committee. And after the committee concluded its investigation and reported all information, it was supposed to be transitioned under GOP control in 2023. After the Republicans took back the House majority, right? That was the game plan. That's the way it's supposed to be done according to law. But a new report exposed Democrats for failing to abide by that transition. Show of hands from anybody surprised by that. 4 terabytes of data. That's a lot. 4 terabytes of data were meant to be turned over to the House Administration Committee's Oversight Subcommittee. And what Republicans ended up with was far short of all the files related to the J6 investigation. The Daily Caller reported that the former House Select Committee on J6 reportedly deleted 117 files containing critical information. More than 100 files were encrypted and purged from hard drives, and the committee only received 2 terabytes of data. Now, enter Republican Chairman Barry Loudermilk of Georgia. He was supposed to receive all the data for the committee, but sources reported that 117 files were deleted on January 1st of 2023, right before the transition of power following the midterms. Loudermilk sent a letter to the former J6 chairman asking for access to the files that were encrypted. One recovered file disclosed the identity of an individual whose testimony was not archived by the select committee. This is in Loudermilk's note. He also said, further, we found that most of the recovered files are password protected, preventing us from determining what they contain. So, needless to say, Mr. Loudermilk wants answers. And he set a January 24th deadline for receiving passwords for all the password protected files that were created by the committee. He also requested that the White House General Counsel and the General Counsel of the Department of Homeland Security meet the same deadline. He wants unedited and unredacted transcripts of the White House and DHS testimony that was given to the former select committee to be delivered to his committee. See, Democrats wanted everything about the J6 Capitol event to be revealed to the public. And now it appears they plotted to hide a lot of what they discovered because they discovered that it was BS. And this makes people question their reporting on the event and any conclusions. So Congress, at every stage, should default to transparency so the public can see how the government's operating. Everything the government does should focus on an end result that is of benefit to the people, not the politicians. Of course, we know that's the way things should work. But will they? And once again, I'm sorry, but I have to say I doubt it. I left Ohio in 1968 and never went back except to visit. It's a beautiful state, really is. Drive around Ohio, oh my gosh. If you drive due south from Cleveland to go down to Akron, Canton, through the central area of Ohio, oh my gosh, the scenery is just absolutely breathtaking. Not too crazy about the winter weather up there, because you get like 8 or 9 months of winter, but it's a beautiful state. But I don't recognize it politically because it's a red state. I think some politicians are still referring to it, maybe not politicians, but pundits refer to Ohio as a swing state, but I don't think they're swinging much. They're a pretty conservative state. They have a conservative governor, except for the one thing. Governor DeWine vetoed a bill that would have banned transgender procedures for minors. He vetoed that. But the legislature came forward voting Wednesday to override Governor DeWine's veto. Thank goodness. The state Senate voted 23-9 to override the veto, and the state House voted 65-28 to do the same earlier this month. And just so that you know, Republicans have a majority in both chambers. Sounds like a red state to me. In fact, in some respects, they're even redder than my state of Texas. And the vote mostly followed party lines, except for State Senator Nathan Manning, who's a Cuyahoga County Republican who consistently breaks from his party on the issue. DeWine vetoed the bill in December, late December, and his party wasn't real happy about that. He told reporters during a press conference that such a measure, if allowed to become law, would do more harm than good. But he didn't elaborate. The bill, also known as the Saving Ohio Adolescents from Experimentation Act, would ban doctors from performing gender-related surgeries and administering puberty blockers, and cross-sex hormones to minors. Now, I don't see anything outlandish about this law. To me, it's common sense. But then again, I'm of a conservative political bent. Other provisions of the bill would bar schools from allowing male athletes to join female sports teams in high schools and colleges, reflecting what's pretty much a nationwide trend to address concerns about fairness in women's sports. Now, the ban is set to take effect in 90 days. Advocates of the bill argue that irreversible interventions related to individuals' favored gender identity can have long-term consequences, urging instead for a shift toward compassionate mental health care and therapy for minors. The trouble is, when you suggest that to people on the left, they recoil as though you're some kind of a monster. What do you mean, mental health counseling? That's cruel. Well, yeah, so is disfiguring the body of a person who was born a certain way with the idea in mind that you're going to change their gender. Here again, proving the arrogance of the human mind. You know, we human beings are an arrogant lot. We actually think we can change the climate. We think we can change a person's sexual, not so much their identity. If you're a male and you identify as female, fine, go ahead. Wear your dresses, do whatever you want to do. Just stop doing the parades, okay? That's nuts. But now, Ohio has joined North Carolina and Louisiana in overriding a governor's veto to enact similar bans. Now, perhaps the governors are vetoing this so that they don't have to look like the bad guy. I mean, this is one thought that crossed my mind as this issue was really starting to brew. Maybe the governor agrees with it, but he's going to veto the bill so he doesn't have to be the bad guy. You know how that is. If mom says no, ask your dad. Well, Republican State Representative Gary Click, the bill's primary sponsor, naturally celebrated the Senate vote and stressed that the disagreement between the legislative and executive branches was about policy, not personality. He said he's confident that Mr. DeWine, in vetoing the bill, acted from the heart and did what he believed was right. He added that in time, the governor may have come around to the stance of his fellow Republicans on the matter. Well, whether he does or not, you know, that's not the issue. The issue here is what the left is proposing, allowing minors to change their bodies, have puberty blockers. That is disfiguring. No matter how you look at it, it is disfiguring, and you don't need a medical degree to understand that. And this disfiguration of minors has got to stop. It must be banned nationwide. It won't be. I mean, you just watch. You're going to have families shuttling their kids across state lines to be administered puberty blockers and this grotesque disfiguring surgery. Now, what that kid does once he or she becomes an adult, that's their business. Leave the minors alone. I think this is neat. It's not surprising, but it's certainly neat. Red state governors all over are starting to mobilize support behind the state of Texas for standing up to the Biden administration over the border mess. Wednesday, Governor Greg Abbott issued a statement declaring that the state was invoking its constitutional authority to self-defense against the border invasion. And he tweeted it out on X, the full letter. It's there, dated January 24th, 2024. And the statement reads, President Biden has instructed his agencies to ignore federal statutes that mandate the detention of illegal immigrants. The failure of the Biden administration to fulfill the duties imposed by Article 4, subsection 4, has triggered Article 1, subsection 10, clause 3, which I'm sure means something to these people who follow this stuff, which reserves to this state the right of self-defense. For these reasons, I have already declared an invasion under Article 1, now subsection 10, clause 3, to invoke Texas constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes to the contrary. Now, the showdown began when Texas defied a temporary injunction from the Supreme Court, which dropped, what, last week, directing us in Texas here to allow federal Border Patrol agents to cut down razor wire to allow more illegal migrants, illegal aliens, to come into the United States. We take a dim view of that over here in Texas. Now, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt had a similar message on Wednesday afternoon in reaction to a post showing Texas mobilizing its National Guard troops in the standoff. And Stitt just said, Oklahoma stands with Texas. You know, federal government better watch out, because if the entire southwestern United States bands together in this, I mean, that'll be the end of the Democrat Party, at least as far as presidential politics is concerned. Now, Ron DeSantis recently dropped out of the race, of course, and he's now endorsing President Trump, and he also expressed his support for Texas in this showdown. Wednesday evening, DeSantis issued the following post on X. If the Constitution really made states powerless to defend themselves against an invasion, it wouldn't have been ratified in the first place, and Texas would never have joined the Union when it did. Texas is upholding the law while Biden is flouting it. Good point. So, he also said that Florida will keep assisting Texas with personnel and assets. Excellent. So DeSantis, by the way, he's got a history of helping Texas and our governor, Governor Abbott, in managing the border crisis. Because in May of 23, DeSantis pledged to send 5 aircraft, 17 drones, 10 boats from Florida for the collective effort to control the southern border. And in a letter to governors in 2023, Governor Abbott wrote, quote, in the federal government's absence, we as governors must band together to combat President Biden's ongoing border crisis and ensure the safety and security that all Americans deserve. And then Abbott urged his fellow state executives to send all available law enforcement personnel and resources to the Rio Grande area. And several observers online urged other state governors to flock to Abbott's aid in the effort to secure the border against the wishes of the Biden administration, of course. Still trying to figure out the motivation behind the Biden administration in this. I mean, I see something very sinister going on here. I know that you do, too. But this is all being done by plan. They planned this. And, of course, the prevailing opinion is that the reason they're doing this is because with every illegal alien who crosses the border and gets into the country, that's another Democrat voter. But we've cited a number of examples over the last year or so that run contrary to that. So Robbie Starbuck, he's I guess you'd call him an independent journalist/pundit. He tweeted out, red state governors have a chance to show the world who the Democrats are now. They must take action, deploy every National Guard to Texas. Biden and the Democrats will try to seize control of them. This will prove once and for all that they want open borders and a dictatorship. Kind of hard to argue with that, you know? Now, let's see, Joe Kent, another one of these independent pundits/journalists, he says, Biden and every Democrat supports the invasion of our nation. 10 million illegals have entered for every one threat we identify. Like the man below, there are many more like him. Red state governors should send their National Guard to assist Texas. These threats affect the entire nation. Now, when he was referring to the man below, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a tweet that went out. I think it was on Wednesday. Yes, it was Wednesday. Some guy says, you'll soon know who I am. And he spoke with a Middle Eastern accent. He says, you'll soon know who I am. Well, it turns out they believe him to be Movsum Samadov, who's the head of the Islamic Party of Azerbaijan. and he served 12 years in prison and was released in January 2023. But I saw the video yesterday. I saw it on Wednesday. And he doesn't look overly menacing, but boy, he sure got an attitude. So, we have a fight on our hands, and the Biden administration is ignoring that. They don't give a hoot in hell. This is big. Audio has leaked of a conversation between Carrie Lake and Arizona GOP Chairman Jeff DeWitt that it really pissed off Glenn Beck. And Glenn is now demanding that the RNC come clean about who back east allegedly tried to bribe Carrie Lake to hold off on her Senate run. I want you to listen to this audio. Carrie Lake, God bless her, recorded Jeff DeWitt in this conversation.
Is there a number at which
I can be bought? That's what it's about.
You can take a pause for a couple years.
No.
And then go right back to where you're doing.
No. 10 million, 20 million, 30, no, no, no. A billion, no. This is not about money. This is about our country. I think it's disturbing that they would even, that anybody would think this is.
No, to be fair, even me, I'll say this. I want a fresh face right now for the reason that I've never seen anyone, I can't think of a single person in a federal race who lost, ran in and won. Can't think of it. If you can think of it, let me know.
I'm not going to let these people who hate our country tell me not to run. You should call them and tell them to get behind me. So what's going on? What is, I'm assuming this is our friend.
This is back east. There are very powerful people that want to keep you out.
They do.
But they're willing to put their money where their mouth is in a big way. So, this conversation never happened.
This is crazy, though. They should want me. I'm a great candidate. People love me. These people are corrupt.
Well, maybe you're right.
They are right. They are corrupt.
Maybe. This is a wrap. Don't go. You get it, though. I'm going to get myself in trouble. If you say no, that's just fine. It's your choice. Don't tell people.
They're going to try to have me murdered.
Not that either. Today's world, man. If that stuff that came out last week is right about the cartel stuff, man. They say the cartel's operating in 50 states right now. Like all 50, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
So what's going on? Who is it? What?
Forget the who. Let me just tell you the what. Let's just say there are people calling around saying, gosh, no, they can't repeat this. Never repeat this. If you say no, don't. Because I got offered to buy out. Don't. Because then we lose our ability to get things done in the future.
Jeez.
Here's my problem. Rather than just say, let's work with her. She's a great candidate. Because they don't own me. And it pisses me off.
Yeah, it's not about ownership.
It's about control.
I don't know if it's about control. It's about being on the team. I guess that's, you know what I mean?
They want to be on the team.
They want you to be on their team.
But
just team. You know?
But if they're pushing a globalist agenda, I can't do that. So what do they want? What do they want me to do?
They want you to stay out for 2 years. But I'll tell you what I can offer you. But I said you can do whatever you want. It's a talking head, isn't it? So the ask of me was, it's kind of funny. So the ask I got today from back east was, is there any companies out there or something that could just put her on the payroll and give her to keep her out? And I said, well, what are you willing to do? Whatever we need to do.
This is about defeating Trump. And I think that's a bad, bad thing for our country. DeSantis is not America first. This is about the final death blow to Trump. And I don't think that's good for our country.
I love Trump.
It's not good for our country, Jeff.
It's not. But at the same time, I'm not even sure Trump can win again. I don't know that he can win again. I think what it really comes down to for a lot of people, it's not a really about like control or agenda. It's just about the ability to raise money to win. You know, if you really want to know, all of politics boils down to money. I think. Mm-hmm. And even on their end, like, what makes them the most money?
I know these consultants don't want their payday to end, and I don't want to make a deal with these kind of people. This is a hill worth dying on. They're going to steal the election to make me and our movement go away, I'm not letting him do that. I owe it to the people of Arizona to carry their torch and their voice.
Or you don't go away, but you pause.
This is the battles right now, Jeff.
You pause and you fill your coffers.
No, the battle is right now. The battle is right now, and we don't have time to pause on this battlefield.
You're not. You can't scratch their back. It's not afraid of you.
Yeah.
You don't have anything to offer them.
You don't have anything.
And they're sitting around people that have stuff to offer them. You know what I mean? It's just it's a back scratching club. That's all DC is. It's a big back scratching club. You're in no position to scratch anybody's back, and you've already made it known that if you get there, you're not going to scratch anybody's back. I don't scratch people's back. You know, I've been on the outs with a lot of people for a long time because I don't scratch back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are we in 2 years if they steal the election again?
Listen to what you're saying. Why don't we do something about it?
What?
So that we, the people, can pick our...
What can we do?
I'm not willing to accept that. Then I'm going to be the biggest pain in these people's... Go back and tell them that.
No.
I'm running... And I'm going to be the biggest pain in their
And I'm willing to tell them that.
And they're going to have to kill me to stop me.
This, my friend, is nothing new. This has been going on for years in both parties. This is now going on in the Republican Party. And Glenn Beck is recommending that nobody give a dime to any candidate until they clean house on this. Meanwhile, Jeff DeWitt was forced to resign as chairman of the Arizona GOP. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner and a fellow we've had on before. His name is Kevin Fitzgerald, and his day job is he's a veterinarian, probably the funniest veterinarian you'll ever meet. And in the evenings, he entertains.
Started reading again. Not really reading. I do books on tape. But it turns out I'm a slow listener. So it doesn't work out. You know, you got to do the kid jokes. Jokes like, how come Noah was such a bad fisherman? He only had two worms. These are the kid jokes. A skeleton walks into a bar and says, "Give me a beer and a mop." I'll tell you about that later if you don't get me. Well, how nice you are. It's so nice to be here. I was working last night in Denver at a club run by the Jehovah Witnesses, and all they wanted to hear were knock-knock jokes. Oh, we can't make fun of... we can't make fun of anybody. Don't make fun of the Witnesses, right? A witness came to my house the other day, knocked on the door, I let him in, took him in the kitchen, sat him down, gave him a cup of coffee. I go, "What do you want to talk about?" He goes, "I don't know, I've never gotten this far before." Tell you feelings about myself. I'm 65, but I read at a 66-year-old level. I'm so old, I remember Preparation A. I'm so old, the only time I don't have to pee is when I'm peeing. Last summer I couldn't pee at all. I went to the doctor, I go, "I can't pee." He goes, "How old are you?" I go, "65. He goes, "You've peed enough." And as you get older, apparently you do start to look like your pet. It was this morning before I went to the airport, my next door neighbor came over and yelled at me for pooping in his front yard. I called, "I've been eating vitamins." "You eat vitamins?" Eating so many vitamins, and when tinkled before I came up here, it looked like I'd eaten a highlighter. I Some of these aren't jokes. I'm just telling you stuff.
That's it. Make it a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today. Just thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?